Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this how-to video, we're going to be discussing how to get started as a general partner in multifamily. And it's important because when Jake and I started, we only knew one way of getting into real estate. And I think a lot of newer investors only have one path. And when you only have one path, you may become desperate with that one path. The more tools that you can have, it gives you the more options. The more options that you have, the better the quality of life that you will be able to lead, and the more the deals that you can get done. So, starting off as a general partner, one of the easiest ways to be able to get into real estate by starting off as a general partner is becoming a limited partner, an LP. That's investing passively in a deal. And what does that allow you to do? Well, to me, it allows you to do a couple of things. First of all, it allows you to put your toe in the water, to test it, to see if you actually like real estate. It also allows you to say to others, yes, I am an equity investor in a deal. It may give you some credibility. You may not be actively running the deal, but you do own real estate. And what I love about it is once you start putting skin in the game in anything, you start paying attention. Now, let's not dismiss the fact that you need to learn the business. I don't want you tomorrow to go out and stroke a $50,000 check and hand it to somebody who's a general partner in a deal and say, invest my money in the deal. That is not what I am saying. What I am saying is to go out, learn how to buy right, manage right, finance right. Quickest way to do that is email me, gino@jakeandgino.com, and I will send you over a free PDF copy of our book, Wheelbarrow Profits. It talks about the framework. Understand that as a limited partner, really, your objective is to align your goals, what you're trying to accomplish, what your risk tolerance is with the syndicator or the operator. It's really important. And you also need to understand how that operator is going to return your capital, what their business plan looks like. Now, LPs are probably complaining right now in this part of the market cycle because there are a lot of capital calls going on. There's been a lot of deals that aren't performing the way they should. I just challenge LPs. I was in that situation years ago back in 2005 when I met a gentleman named Maserati Mike. I've shared this story once or twice. And I was, quote unquote, it was a syndication, although it wasn't pitched as one, completely all of my fault. I didn't know anything about it. I jumped in and I thought I was investing with this gentleman where really what he was doing is he was creating a syndication. It was a venture where he did all the work. We gave him the capital. I did no work with the expectation of a return of a capital. That is a syndication. Go look up the Howey test. 18 months later, that deal is gone. Now, I can blame him all I want. Maserati Mike wasn't a great guy, didn't know what he was doing, but ultimately it was upon me. I didn't understand the business plan. I didn't do my due diligence. I didn't know what I wanted from that deal. I didn't have any goals. I didn't have any objectives. All I knew is I had money. I needed to invest my money to generate a return, and that's what I did. But as an LP, I want you to start understanding that you need to look at this game, look at this business from the aspect that you aren't going to be using these deals and doing these deals actively, but put the effort and the time to learn the business, because once you do, it's an amazing business, right? Then once you're the LP, you've invested in a couple of these, hey, then what we do is what we call is become a co-general partner. Go out there and find other groups that need your talent and or your skills to be part of that group. Now, if you don't have a securities or broker's license, you cannot be compensated for purely just raising capital. Illegal. Don't do it. Don't get compensated. Don't say, hey, I'm going to raise $1 million. I want X percent as part of the GP. That is illegal unless you have a broker's dealer's license. So you don't do that. But what you do do is, I want to be part of this team. These are the skills that I can bring to the table. And there's a lot of skills and a lot of different value that you can bring to a multifamily deal. We say multifamily is a team sport. you can possibly bring sweat equity. I mean, if you're part of the property, you're looking around, you're in that market and you want to add value. How do you add value? By working on the property, by going there, being the bird dog, by going there and getting all the docs, by going there, closing table, by going there to the bank, trying to get that deal accomplished, by going, calling up all the investors. See how you can add sweat equity into the deal. Number two, capital. Can you bring capital to the table, whether it's your own? Do you have a strong balance sheet? And or can you raise capital from your group to be able to bring into this deal? The next one, deal finder, acquisitions. Are you really good at being a bird dog? Are you really good at finding deals? If you are, there's a lot of value in that because you can find other people to partner with you to take that deal down. The next one would be asset management. If you're a co-GP and you come to the table and your partners don't really like asset management or not really strong at it, and you can asset management this deal, it's probably one of the most important pillars once you've bought the deal, right? Because it's buy right, finance right, and the third pillar is manage right. You're managing these deals, and how do you do it? It's through asset management, and this next one, property management. Now, don't get confused, because I know I was in the beginning, because we weren't investing in our deals with other partners or investors. It was just me and Jake and another partner. So we were confusing both of these, asset management and property management. Property management is really dealing with the property itself, customer journeys, customer experience, customer service, tenant retention. That's where property management really has to focus on delivering that service and retaining those residents and making sure those residents pay, filling up units. The asset manager is sitting here and saying, oh, I need to create budgets. I'm a fiduciary for my investors. I need to be able to return the capital to the investors. As you can see, they're on opposite sides of the table. The key is to try to make them work on the same side of the table by creating budgets, by creating KPIs that they can both deal with. You can obviously say as an asset manager, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Property Manager, do we need to spend $300 on a ceiling fan? Could we possibly spend $150? And that would make the budget work a lot better. And I don't think you're going to get any lesser quality tenant by doing that. They need to be working together. It's going to be, you know, conflicting at times because property managers just want to fill up units. They want to hit their numbers. They're being compensated based on the revenue they collect. Asset managers are being really based upon how much money they can get to their investors. So property managers are spending more. Asset managers want to spend less, but understanding how they work together is so important and will make your asset either flourish or stagnate. Important. I think this last one on the team is crucial once you start growing. And I think even on your very first one, as you start getting investors onto that list, it's actually investor relations, working with investors, having a customer journey for investors. As you can see that, you have the property management has customer journeys, customer experiences with the residents. The asset manager or the investor relations person has to have that same type of journey and customer service with their investors. Once you bring the deal down, are you doing webinars? Are you promoting webinars to raise capital? Are you having that transparency and that touch point with those investors? Do you have a really nice platform where they can go on, that investor management platform, they can jump on and they can take a look and see what's going on? It's truly important to create that investor relations because those investors are going to come back to you and they're going to invest on your next deal and your next deal. And as you start to become better and bigger at this, it'll be a lot easier to start raising capital. So how to get started? We've laid out LP, then going to LP, becoming possibly the co-GP. Then when you've done a couple of deals as a co-GP, are you ready to step it up as the lead general partner? That to me is really the groundwork of somebody who's just getting into real estate, wanting to start out. Now, the syndicators, the sponsors, and here are some of the responsibilities as that sponsorship group is what they need to do. They need to be underwriting deals. They need to be negotiating with the sellers. They need to be finding investors. They need to be educating investors. Crucial part. Really important part. They need to be property managing, whether it's themselves or third party. They need to have transparent communication with investors, and they need to ultimately perform on the property and return the capital. That's what general partners and the sponsorship group, That's what their responsibilities are. So if you're just starting out, that may seem daunting to you. That's why I love that LP to co-GP to GP. Or if you're a co-GP where it's not all your responsibilities, where you have someone who's got the experience. Now, Jake and I started at a different trajectory. We started buying deals by ourselves. We started with smaller properties, 25 unit and a 36 unit. Then we refinanced and continued down that process. So we bought deals internally by ourselves. So we didn't have investors early on. And a lot of you will take that route as well. You can take that route and then all of a sudden you have the experience. And then you say to yourselves, hey, I've got some experience. I've got work with the agencies. I've got some deals with Fannie and Freddie. Let me try syndication. And that's what Jake and I did. That was our path. At around 700 units, you tend to run out of capital at a certain time. And we did. And that's when we did our first syndication. $2.5 million we raised in 48 hours because we had the experience. We knew what we were looking for. We had the business plan and ultimately had a great asset. We did three syndications in that time period of about 18 months. It worked out really well for us. That's the path that you can take as well. Start small, get some experience, and then all of a sudden you have the experience and the credibility and then go into it either way. There is no right or wrong way. What I want you to do is ultimately take a deep dive into yourself. What are you trying to accomplish with your investing? Are you looking to go into it full time? Are you looking to do this passively and trying to build up the retirement? Are you trying to save for college for your kids or whatever that looks like? You need to answer that question. But I'll leave you with this in real estate. Real estate is so powerful. It only takes one. Answer that question for yourself. What does that mean to you? To me, when I was in the restaurant business, it only took one deal to allow me to leave. But ultimately, it only took me one partnership. And that was Jake that completely transformed my life. And as you go throughout the day today, it only takes one what? Think about that for yourself. I want to thank you for being part of my day, really spending part of your day with me. And I hope you enjoyed this lesson because for me, it's all about trying to take that next step. And if you don't have the clarity on that next step, you won't take that next step. So reflect upon that. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on the next how-to. Take care.